Isn't it strange that in southern New Mexico there are school children who have no trouble whatsoever at the spelling the word consequences? Other states, other locales, those students can't. Michael Swickert here. Welcome to Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Our award-winning Hatch green and red chili, boy, is it good. It's from locally owned farms in Hatch, New Mexico, the chili capital of the world. There are southern New Mexico students in one town who can spell the word consequences and not have any trouble with it. Now, the time was March 29th, 1950. Yes, 74 years ago. And the leaders of the New Mexico town of Hot Springs, New Mexico, decided to get national attention, which they did. The town of about 10,000 people was mostly known for two things. First, the Elephant Butte Dam, and secondly, the medicinal hot springs in the area. It was officially founded in about 1880, called Palomas Hot Springs, but that's shortened to Hot Springs. For centuries, in fact, Native Americans came to that area to soak in the mineral hot springs. When it became a town, it still had the draw of the mineral hot springs. Bathhouses were constructed for the visitors. But New Mexico's hot springs was confused with other states. There's really maybe, I don't know, 50 or 60, but there's big hot springs in Arkansas, Montana, and California. They have their own hot springs. Well, a radio and then television producer, Ralph Edwards, who grew up loving a children's game called Forfeit. In that, someone's given a two-second challenge, and if they're failed to do it, which most people can't, then they have to do something embarrassing. So he made it into a radio and then finally a television show called Truth or Consequences. Contestants were given 2 seconds to answer a question or a buzzer called Beulah. The buzzer sounded and they were given embarrassing consequences. The radio show started in 1940 on NBC Radio and quickly was a hit with the listeners. Fast forward to the 10th anniversary, 1950, where Ralph Edwards said, "I wish that some town in the United States liked and respected our show so much that it would change its name of the town to Truth or Consequences." Well, someone from the New Mexico Tourism Bureau was listening to the radio and in 1950 contacted the town council in Hot Springs, which voted immediately to do so. It was done at this time in 1950 that the town of Hot Springs, New Mexico, became the town of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And the rest is history, though we often abbreviate it to be TRC. The town was known previously as Hot Springs. It had some great hot springs for your soaking pleasure and still does. And while there are many other hot springs in different states, to the best of my knowledge, this is the one and only Truth or Consequences anywhere in the world. And for that matter, Elephant Butte Dam is the one and only Elephant Butte Dam in the world, just so you know. Just so we're clear, it really hit its stride when three things happened. And this was before they had the big name change to Truth or Consequences. They were hot springs. First was the railroad went through the area to the east of town, near where Spaceport America now, 100 years later. Well, that was important. It brought people easily up into the area. The second was the Rio Grande Project, which constructed the Elephant Butte Dam, named the Woodrow Wilson Dam, but nobody calls it that. They call it the Elephant Butte Dam. Finally, it was the paved road from the Las Cruces to Albuquerque that is now I-25. You see, that brought people every day to TRC for the mineral baths and for the recreation at the lake. Michael Swickert here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces. You can hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. Something else. Let's talk about something else. It was 40 years ago, right now that NASA's third space shuttle mission was launched and then landed in New Mexico, the one, the only time STS-3 was Space Shuttle Columbia, launched on March 22nd, and it was supposed to be a seven-day mission for Jack Lausma and Gordon Fullerton, but there was the New Mexico connection. You knew there would be. You see, there was a lot of rain, really buckets and buckets of rain at Edwards Air Force Base in California, and the shuttle landing facility at Kennedy Space Center was open, but the Columbia pilots had not practiced there even once. So Northrop Strip on the White Sands Missile Range was the landing point. You see, it was the training area for space shuttle pilots, so the Columbia pilots knew the area well and knew how to take their space shuttle down to the landing strip. 2 months after the Columbia landed, White Sands Space Harbor was named by legislation which President Ronald Reagan signed. Now, the first intent to land was on the 29th, but there was a typical March, New Mexico windstorm that shocked the television crews, who had never been blasted by dust and wind as such, because they was running 50, 60 miles an hour. So the Columbia stayed up in orbit for another day. STS-3 commander Jack Lausma had this to say. He said, "We enjoyed an extra day in our world's favorite vacation spot. We finally had a chance to just look out the shuttle window and enjoy being up there." Now, making a last-second change, or last-minute change, from Edwards Air Force Base to White Sands Missile Range was quite a big deal, since there was a lot of equipment that was needed when a space shuttle landed. So they had a large-scale equipment redeployment involving over 40 train cars and lots of flights to Holloman Air Force Base by cargo planes to get all the stuff from Edwards to there in southern New Mexico. It was two dedicated railroad trains who brought the stuff from California to New Mexico. The amount of equipment needed for landing a space shuttle was important for the mission and was vast. But they were able to service STS-3 Columbia at Northrop Strip with, I would say, one little problem for both the Space Shuttle Columbia and the shuttle carrier aircraft. It was a modified 747-100, a former airliner that they did some modification on, is told the same problem they had there that the Columbia had. It was fine grains of gypsum dust, which covered the Space Shuttle Columbia inside and out. Now, Space Shuttle astronaut Charles Bolton, who flew four space shuttle missions and said that STS-61 still had gypsum coming out of everything when they got up into space. They thought they'd cleaned it. They cleaned it again and again and again. Didn't matter. Well, it was even more so for the Transporter 747, which I understand even to this day has got gypsum just for that one landing. Now, I'm not telling any stories when I say that when you go enjoy a day at White Sands National Park, in a small way, you'll have some of that same finding gypsum dust in your car long afterwards. Is it worth it? Oh, you bet it is. And the gypsum in the car and all over yourself is definitely worth it. Take the kids and enjoy, especially the full moon time at the White Sands National Park. The gypsum is just great. But it wasn't quite so great for all of the Columbia and the Transporter. Now, White Sands Space Harbor never was used again, but it was a glorious, wonderful New Mexico spring day following the awful windstorm the day before. News people were stunned at how awful the day before was when it was 50-mile-an-hour wind, and how incredible it was the next morning when the space shuttle landed. What a great day. Even better, I'm told, was all those news people who left the Space Harbor, went into town and had green chili cheeseburgers in town. magnificent chili for certain. And boy, did they really like that. They certainly did. Michael Swigert here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces. Hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. Old West writer Eugene Rhodes wrote stories about the Old West in New Mexico near the turn of the century in the year 1900, and he continued clear to his death in 1934. I have all of his books and appreciate his humor. One thing I really enjoyed was he was asked why he let the outlaws in the area stop at his remote ranch in the San Andreas Mountains. He looked at the person who asked that and said, well, first, it isn't healthy to say no to outlaws. And also, he said, you'll find that outlaws are more interesting than in-laws. What a great line. One outlaw here in New Mexico was named Clay Allison. He was a gunfighter and a crazy person, lived over in the Portales-Clovis area. He's noted for traveling one time to Cheyenne, Wyoming. And during his trip, which I know nothing about why he went, why he came back, I don't know anything about it other than I know he had a tooth problem. He developed a toothache, and he went to a local dentist there in Cheyenne who, how shall I say, appeared to be under the influence of alcohol, and get this, started working on the wrong tooth. So now two of Clay Allison's teeth hurt. Well, he jumped up and ran out. He went to a different dentist who was not drunk, and that dentist took care of the tooth that was causing the problem. Did I say Clay Allison was crazy? Oh, yes, I did. So when Clay Allison returned to the first dentist and was forcibly extracting one of the man's front teeth and was working on another tooth when the dentist's shrieks brought intervention, that was the crazy Clay Allison. One more historical note, as long as we're talking history here. In 1851, when James Calhoun became New Mexico's first territorial governor, his first task was to do a census of the citizens in the new territory. Today, it would be quite a task. In fact, I was a 2020 census supervisor in southern New Mexico and went from the Arizona border to near Artesia, from near Socorro, New Mexico, to the state line near El Paso. Well, I spent lots of hours in my truck and lots of hours walking neighborhoods. But for James Calhoun, New Mexico stretched from Texas to California. The northern border of all this was nebulous, but the area that was Arizona was actually part of New Mexico back then. So in that area, which would be Arizona and New Mexico today, it was all done on foot or on horseback. They found 56,984 people at that time. Now, more to the point of how hard this census in the next 60 years was, that there weren't large metropolitan areas with half of New Mexico's residents like that you saw up in the north with Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, and Santa Fe Metroplex. You had almost half of all the people in New Mexico. Back then, it was very much one small ranch and then another one. And there weren't actually very good maps back then, such as what we have today. So let's talk about the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. They have a great website. It's called FreshChiliCo.com. Let me say that again. FreshChiliCo.com. You can see the many products they have, and they can ship to your door. I love their blend of red and green chili in a jar. It comes in mild, medium, hot, and extra hot. But I want to point out some things most people haven't noticed. You can buy a yearly Fresh Chili membership, and it's a Fresh Chili Company membership, and it'll do a number of things for you. First, you get 20% off every order. Within the United States, you get free shipping and 5% cash back on every order, $10 in store credit upon signing up, easy access to the new drops of flavors so that you get them first, member-only products, and priority customer support. You can check it out. If chili is an important part of your kitchen routine, boy, it is with me, you can become a Fresh Chili member with a yearly purchase of a membership. And you, again, can do that at FreshChiliCo.com, FreshChiliCo.com. Let me tell you something that the Fresh Chili Company has I think is over-the-top great. It's Salsa Roja. The full name, when you go, is actually Hatch Jalapeno Salsa Roja. Inspired by traditional Mexican salsa, creamy and spicy, it's a great taste. Made from red jalapeno peppers from Hatch, which you know is the chili capital of the world. This salsa goes well on chips and tacos, and I use it on my salads. Just so very good. One thing happens when people live in Las Cruces or visit our area, they can come by the Fresh Chili Company's gift shop, 1160 El Paseo Road, Suite D7 in Las Cruces. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come by the Fresh Chili Company's gift shop. There is a big sign over the entrance that says Fresh Chili Company. And I give tours of the facility, so if you decide you'd like to take a look at it, you can email ahead because I'm the tour guide and will give lots of stories about how the wonderful Fresh Chili Company was created and how it makes this great chili salsa and more. This is Michael Swickard with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, brought to you by the Fresh Chili Company. Thank you for your time today. We'll always have lots of news and stories about New Mexico. If you have something or someone you want to talk about, me to talk about, write to me, michael@freshchilico.com, michael@freshchilico.com. Have a great rest of your day. Oh, yes, and eat plenty of that good Hatch Valley chili like I do. I always say some chili's good, more is better, as long as it's Hatch Valley chili. Bye for now.